reading and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our first scripture reading is found in your Bibles in the book of Genesis. It's on page 56, and we read Genesis 50, verses 15 through 21. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "It may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil that we did to him." So they sent a message to Joseph saying, "Your father gave this command before he died. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin, because they did evil to you. And now, please forgive the transgressions of the servants of the God of your father." Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, "Behold, we are your servants." But Joseph said to them, "Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear,
but that's
how
Joseph
provide for you and your little ones." Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is found in Paul's letter to the Romans. It's on page 1214, and we read Romans 14, beginning at verse 1. "As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains. And let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own
Such
mind.
Such intensity!
The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God. While the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be the Lord both of the dead and of the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, 'As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God.' So then each of us will give an account of himself to God." This is the word of the Lord.
Be to God.
We rise out of respect for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, page 1053, and we read Matthew 18, beginning at verse 21. Peter came up and said to Jesus, "Lord, How often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you 7 times, but 70 times 7. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold, with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me, and I will pay you. He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and a peace be to you from God our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. My text for today is from your gospel lesson, where Jesus talks about what is great about children. And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. This is our text. While Jesus is talking about what is great about children, I'd like to talk about what is not so great about children for a few minutes. Having raised my own, now having 2 2-year-olds and a 7-year-old around the house, I can tell you there is a lot that's not great about them. They think more highly of themselves than they ought. Far before they are capable, they think they can go downstairs all by themselves. Not I, but my wife witnessed one of my sons going down 15 flights of stairs in one of those little walking machines. He lived. They witness parents plugging things into the wall, and so they think a paperclip is quite appropriate. They usually only make that mistake once. Now, little children have some aspects to them that are not so great. They think they are far more capable than they ought to think. They think they can accomplish things without consulting their parents. They think They're immortal, and they're not. But there was something that Jesus saw in children that he thought was great. And it's those moments in life when they recognize they're not so great. Their humility. Those times when they recognize their only hope is to jump behind the skirts or pants of their parents and hide there. Maybe doing this. Knowing that their only hope is in the protective care of the one who loves them and cares for them. When they know how weak they are, how powerless they are, that's what Jesus was calling his attention to with regard to children. The disciples came to him wondering who was the greatest. Conveniently, this was not long after Jesus told them that he would be suffering at the hands of the chief priests and scribes and be killed. And on the third day rise, but we know they really didn't hear that part. They thought that they were going to be about Jesus, and their pride began to take over. Well, who's going to be in charge after you're gone, Jesus? Is a slight paraphrase of their real question about who is the greatest. And that's when Jesus grabs a little child and brings him into the midst of them, probably holding his little hand, maybe even setting him in on his lap, and pointing out how weak and powerless, how humble, if you will, little children are in a situation where they're not too sure of themselves. And he says, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of God, heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. You know, I'm pretty confident everybody here knows that we are saved by grace. And there's nothing we can do to earn our salvation. That we are, in essence, powerless. We can accomplish nothing on our own. Thus says the Scriptures, and so, at least intellectually, we believe. But I know that what's up here doesn't always make it to here. And just like little children, we sometimes do things that God does not regard as being so great. We strike out on our own, not even turning to a page of Scripture, or even offering a prayer to God saying, God, this is what I want to do. Is that what you want me to do? We spend our time, our talents, our treasures in ways that we think are best for us, but not asking God what's best for us, which is actually what is best for the kingdom. Most of you are familiar with Matthew chapter 6. where God talks about worrying about the things of this world, we do let our worries take hold of us at times. We have plans, but we don't know how we're going to accomplish them. We have our own ideas about what our goals are for our life. But God tells us, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. Make that your first priority in life, and I'll take care of the rest. When you wake up in the morning and figure out what you're going to be doing for the day, is that where you start? Probably not every day. If you will, we think more highly of ourselves than we ought. And like little children, that's when we get into trouble. Where we strike off into areas that God says we should not go, but we really weren't thinking about where God wants us to go. We were thinking about where we want to go. We fall prey to the world's temptations. Because we really weren't thinking about God and His kingdom, we were just thinking about ourselves and what we want to do. And we think we're great. But only great in our own eyes or in the world's eyes. Not in the eyes of the one who really counts. Listen again to Jesus. Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of God. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. I think we all have to confess that there are way too many times when that's not a description of us. And that's one of the reasons why we're here. And one of the reasons why our services begin the way they do. We come before God and we confess that we have been not childlike in humility. We've not been great. To the contrary, we confess to Him that we are poor, miserable sinners. And that we justly deserve His temporal and eternal punishment. Have you thought about those words lately? I mean, really thought about them? You know, that's not just oops. That's just not, you know, God, you know, I messed up a little bit this week, but what does it really matter? It's not, you know, I'm not the greatest, but I'm okay. It's for what I've done, God, if you punish me now and punish me eternally in hell, that's the right thing to do. That's how bad I am. And it's at that point in time that God then looks at us and said, that's great. You now get it. You are powerless. You cannot save yourself. You cannot accomplish anything in this life or in the next. unless you look to me. Unless you have my grace and forgiveness, which comes out of the great love that God had for us in sending his Son to die on the cross and to pay for that which we couldn't pay for. And then God calls upon us to keep on living in that great way. In the power of his forgiveness. To begin living again like a little child. Not the little children who think too much of themselves. But the little children who won't do anything unless they first look at their parents and say, is this okay? Is it safe to do this? Is this what you want me to do? I don't want to do anything else because I know I could get hurt. That's the kind of children that our Heavenly Father thinks are great. And God grant that when we do wake up in the morning and when we go to bed at night and as we are living out our daily lives, that's the kind of children we live like. Not the ones that are bent on doing what they want, but who look to their Heavenly Father alone for protection, for help, for deliverance, and for guidance in all that they do. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, the scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV. Copyright 2001. By Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Hymn 556, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, was provided by LutheranTimeOut.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting ZionHiawatha.org.